Hello and welcome to The Money Men. My name is Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton from the Sportsbet Trading Floor. How was the week, Benny?
Yeah, good, good. The D's went 5-0, so it was a good end to the weekend and what was a tough weekend for punters because a lot of hot pots got knocked over in some controversial circumstances sometimes.
Controversial. Looking forward to this, that's for sure. Championships Day 2, that's what it was. It was headlined, obviously, by the Queen Elizabeth. We'll get to that race a little bit later. The track, good four, it came up. How do you think it played? I think there was a little bit of juice in it, just the way off our database when we put the times through, out 3 metres entire circuit, good four. I think it's probably that soft five rate range. In saying that, it raced really well, but did chop out, I think, on that inside as the races went on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you saw in the first couple of races, Converge and Ellsberg stick to the fence, but from then on it was sort of getting off the fence type of day, which is pretty standard for Randwick. Yeah. Definitely the sting was out of the track a little bit, but I don't think many horses had many excuses on Saturday as far as the track played, because we came off Rose Hill a couple of weeks ago where it was a severely biased track. We're not dealing with that this weekend at Randwick. So.
Yep, very good. Let's get into it. Race one, third of a second inside standard time here, Benny. 23.04.11.68 last 400, 200, which is okay compared to the rest of the day. They only went out sort of a moderate tempo here. Converge. Now, the market just did not want to have a part of this horse. $1.90 to $2.70 when we were on air with insider trading at around 10:30 a.m. Then goes out to $3.50. The market didn't know, but it just never really looked like getting beat, to be honest.
That's what on the trading floor we call in the bin. It was in the bin, but it was never going to lose a race. But these aren't the top notch 2-year-olds. I think Converge goes to the Champagne next week, and he hasn't done a figure this week that is good enough to win the Champagne. Even though that Champagne is looming to be pretty weak, it will be on the back up, which is a positive, but it just doesn't have the score on the board in terms of ratings to win a race like the Champagne for mine.
Yeah, I mean, you just speak about the Champagne, obviously, as you said, next week, No Animo, who probably would have been $1.20 favourite and would have won by 10. And then there's a few others that have fallen off the cliff as well. So it might be a weak race, so maybe they get their opportunity. Maurice's, my dad, $3.50 just out to $3.70, runs second. Allegron around that $6, it finishes fifth. And the one they backed, Akahata, $12 into $5.50, it finishes third. But there's nothing really you want to take out of the race?
No substance for mine in this race. Did you find anything?
No, I'm with you there. I'm a bit worried about it going forward, absolutely. Race two, half a second inside standard time, but they went really slow here, Benny. 22.76, 11.64, which was the best of the day for the 400 and the 200. Worth noting, the first 600 metres was 1.5 seconds slower than race three, which is obviously over the same distance. Ellsberg, $4.20 into $3.20, $3.20 into $2.90. It was first up, but its best figures were always when it was resuming, so the market was pushing heavily into it and went forward, and it was game over pretty well at the 600, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's what you want to see in the market in regards to first up horses. Ellsberg, obviously, was so solid in the market. Gerald Ryan and Sterling Alexio train about 15-16% over the course of the year, but when they first up, they train at 22% strike rate. So they do set their horses first up. The market obviously realised that. In terms of the tempo, it got a pretty easy way in front. Did win in good style, ran decent time, probably the race to follow out of any of these races, because there was a few races on this card that didn't go all that well. This was one that did rate pretty well.
And I think this is the key. So people will be like, well, how can this be the race to follow when you've got so many group ones and good races? What we're doing in terms of is just in terms of that standard race, these horses are going to be able to pick their way through, and we think this race is rated clearly above standard by some margin, and I think there'll be plenty of winners out of it, mainly because also it's a great platform race that they've just finished off last 400, 200. I think gives them a great profile going forward into their preps.
Well, you saw Rainbow Connection, Private Eye, making ground off that slow tempo. There seems a few horses in this race that have got a bit more to give this campaign. They've got a few runs left, whereas some of the later races, there's probably horses who are in their grand final will go for a spell now. So we're trying to identify horses who've got a bit of juice left in their campaign.
Yep, good point. Race three, half a second inside standard time. Now, this was, a little bit quicker tempo. As I spoke about, the first 600 was 1.5 seconds quicker than race two. 23.80, 12.16. So last 400, 200, just a little bit soft compared to the rest of the day. It was for the provincial horses, so they came from absolutely everywhere. Pandano, $2.35 favourite, solid. Obviously, the scratching of Great News on the Friday took a bit of, it was going to be the favourite in the race. And they came out of the same race at Newcastle. Crystal Breeze, 10 into $6.50, gets over the top of it. Pandano, as I said, $2.35. They run the Quinella.
Yeah, that was the logical lead up that Newcastle race. They went a second inside stand time, rated really well on the clock. The market identified that race. So those two really did separate themselves. The difference with these horses is Crystal Breeze had a run in between that heat to give it the perfect lead up into this race, whereas Pandano was off 49 days. We'll talk about it later on with Probabil as well. It's very hard to win races when other horses are peaking on the day off a break of between 30 to 50 days. It either suggests that something's gone wrong in that time, and they do lack a little bit of match fitness as well, I think. And there was a telling factor. This was a fast run race. Yep. There was no room to be, you know, lack a little bit of fitness. And I think Pandano did in this case. It did have every chance, but I just think Paul Perry got the lead up wrong. If you look at Chris Lees, he had five runners in the race. They all raced within the last 3 weeks. So he knew that they needed it. His horses needed a run in the few weeks before the race.
I think that's worth good information going forward to maybe got to have those hard fit horses for these big grand finals. And maybe we won't see that next time for Pandano. Also, there was some significant jockey cut changes, really. J-Mac going on to Pandano and Crystal Breeze with Huey Bowman. We're not disparaging to the other jockeys that are riding these horses previous, but these are the big-time athletes at their chosen sport and they get the job done. You can see the market just attracts to them. That's going to continually happen and the punters have got to be aware of it.
And we have to highlight these jockey changes.
Absolutely.
Not because they're replacing a lesser jockey, but because the market is going to take that into account. And it got it absolutely right here. The first two home were the best back runners in the race.
Yep. Race four, half a second inside standard time. 23.16, 11.88, last 400, 200. Najmati, 250 out to $2.80. So it wasn't hugely in the bin, as we say, but it finishes eighth. It was absolutely worse than poor. Jamia wins the race around that $16 mark. Crystal Bound was well supported, $4 into $3. And I think that was off the fact that we knew this horse would roll forward. It did lead when it was at Moonee Valley in pretty good time on a really fast track that day. And how these couple of races earlier played out, it was seemed to be maybe an advantage on speed. So obviously the market was going to be attracted to Crystal Bound. It runs second, Jamia. But maybe the story here is a little bit about Najmati.
Go on, you go. We talked about it before we came on air. Style over substance.
Yeah.
Well, explain a little bit.
Yeah, well, so I think I spoke about it on Insider Trading as it had done nothing on the clock, but I just thought that it was the kind of horse that had been was really good through the line. Sometimes the clock does lie or doesn't tell us everything. Unfortunately, in this case for Najmati, the clock tells us everything. And it is the greatest guide of all time.
Yeah, and the market is never going to go for style over substance. Like it looked like a great horse at Caulfield. It looked like it was a world beater. It didn't run the time. It was a drifter in betting for that reason. It's hard not to get sucked into those horses. And, you know, we both liked Najmati on Saturday and, you know, we got proven it was horribly wrong. It lobbed in 1-1 and I thought, with this finishing burst, it'll be hard to beat. Crystal Bound was probably the run of the race for mine outside the lead on a decent enough tempo. I think it's got more wins in it. It was up to 1,200 metres which from 1,000, which is generally hard to do. So it battled on pretty well. Not sure if it's got where it goes from here, but that was a decent enough run going forward.
We're always learning. If you're not always learning in this game, then forget about it. You're going to end up under a bridge. The key factor here is you just cannot get sucked into these horses that, to the eye, look fantastic. And I think that's the key for the punters out there is just to be able to go, okay, is it backed up by the clock? Yes, it looks great. Did the clock back it up? If it doesn't, then don't get sucked in.
If you get both style and substance, just load up.
Yeah, correct. Race five was the first of the group ones. It was the ATC Oaks. They went 3/4 of a second outside standard times. They've gone really slow here. A couple of bonuses to get at anywhere near the good figure that you wanted to. 23.12 last 400, 11.80 last 200. Hungry Heart won the Vinery in a really fast run race. Complete converse here. Very slowly run race. But same result, $5.50 for Hungry Heart, wins again. So it's now won the Vinery and the Oaks. She's done really nothing wrong, has she?
Yeah, and it was the only horse from that Rose Hill meeting that won at Rose Hill on that severely biased track that we've talked about and came out and won again. So it was the only horse to defy the bias on the day. And I think the best thing about this win was it did it off a really hot tempo last start. did it off a slow tempo here, still relaxed, sprinted. She seems foolproof now for a horse that, you know, we didn't know where she was going a few runs ago, and she was sort of at the crossroads, but she just keeps raising the bar now, and who knows what she could become, because her last three runs have been very, very good.
Yep, she's a beauty. Harmony Rose, $3.30 out to $3.80. Amaralina was the one they really wanted. The New Zealand filly, $5.50 into $4.20. I think it had every possible chance, runs fourth. Montefilia was on the quick seven-day backup, the same profile that won at the spring champion against the boys. Obviously in the spring, it, you know, around that $5, $5.50 mark. I think the only one really to take out is Hungry Heart. I just think she's just done a superb job. I mean, she went around short price favourite in the flight, got knocked over, and then a short price favourite in the 1,000 guineas on the quick seven-day backup. But now in the autumn, she's got those group ones and she deserves them.
Chris Waller horses seem to improve every campaign they come back. Harmony Rose didn't run the trip.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. It's just had a failure though, hasn't it? I mean, they've gone so slow.
I'd like to see, yeah, for sure. I'd like to see a filly like Montefilia go to Queensland and try and win that Oaks, because that it is a drop in grade, even though it's still a group one. I think she would be very hard to beat in the Queensland Oaks. I just don't think the tempo suited her on Saturday.
Yep, it's a pretty good point, I think. We'll be back after the break. Five more races to go through, including the Queen Elizabeth. Welcome back to the Money Men. We are going through Championship Day 2. Now we get into Race 6. It was the Arrow Field, 3/4 of a second inside standard time here, Benny. 22.84, 11.64. So equal best last 200 for this race. Wild Ruler might be a dry tracker. So we'll drill down into all its wins. 5 wins now, all on dry tracks. $7 into $6. Sits on speed. Sits wide, but as you sort of said before the show, you don't think that was a disadvantage at all?
No, probably not. I think maybe it added a little bit of merit to the win. I think it was the place to be by the time that race came. I think, yeah, maybe it adds half a length to its win in regards to how much of a negative that was.
I'm going to set you up here. So Isotope, $3.60 into $3. Market wanted to be with it. Wasn't the only one. September Run, 3 out of 5, finishes 8th. Market knew something there. Let's talk about Isotope.
Humour me with the ride on Isotope here. First 700 metres of the race. Pretend I'm Ryan Maloney. First 700 metres of the race. This is my – I'm riding the horse.
Are you?
First 700 metres of the race went fine.
Yep.
500 metre mark coming to the turn. Normally you would see a jockey edge out other horses to get a clear run. He didn't show any signs of that. That's the first mistake he made. Comes to the turn.
Passionate about this one.
Comes to the turn. Could have – gets into the straight – there's another opportunity to. He's got Kerry McAvoy on his outside. He's got James McDonald just in front of him. He's thinking, I'm going to wait for the run. You know, Kerry McAvoy's a nice bloke. He'll let me out. J-Mac he'll lay in. I'll get through the gap. Didn't come. 300 metre mark. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. The gap's going to come. 200 metre mark. The gap comes. He goes, oh, I might go through that gap now. Thanks for letting me through, guys. I might go out after the leader now. Rats, I missed by a nose. Like, there was no – what I didn't like about the ride was the passiveness early in the straight. If you've got J-Mac on this horse, he's bumping that other horse out the way on the turn. You're on the horse who's travelling the best in the race. The market suggests you're on the best horse in the race. You have to get the job done on these horses. And I can't help but think if it was one of the bigger name jockeys, they get the job done. Ryan Maloney doesn't get opportunities in million-dollar races much. You've got to make the most of them. It opens him up to being replaced on the horse going forward, because you need to get the job done in the grand finals. And I thought he was the reason why Isotope lost the race on Saturday.
It's becoming a bit of a unlucky runner, Isotope. So heavily supported in the Magic Millions race, which was worth a lot of money, and doesn't work out, and obviously Ryan falls off. And then here, heavily supported in the Arrow Field. And look, I understand. And then the counter argument is, look, he hasn't done too much wrong. But it doesn't take too much, does it?
No.
Clearly there's just millimetres in it. And I think maybe even before the post, his head was down. And after the post, Isotope's head's in front. But it doesn't matter. You don't pay on before or after or wherever. You pay on the post. And unfortunately for the Isotope backers, and there was a few of us around, misses.
They're fine margins in these good races. And you've got to make up those margins earlier in the race. I think it was lost at the 500 to 400 metre mark, where he didn't look to push out at the turn.
What about these 3-year-olds?
Well,
what about the crop? You did something, I think you tweeted something out about 6 weeks ago saying, here are the 3-year-olds. Have we missed any? And I think a few people got back to you and they were all pretty good, but you had a pretty good list. Go through them.
I'm embarrassed to read this. Yeah. These are my top 9 3-year-olds, excluding WA horses. September Run, she's been disappointing. What's that?
I don't even know where she is.
Aegon.
Gonzo.
Written Beauty.
Oh, worse.
Isotope. Probably just still got
going
a chance.
Going so well, yeah.
Forbidden Love.
Oh, it fell off a cliff after winning that race.
Yeah. Odium.
Oh.
Cherry Tortoni.
Ugh.
And Ayrton, who I think...
We're hoping.
Could be
we're
the best of them.
We're hoping. Well, he's won a 64. So we just got him pegged as a really good horse, but three-year-old crop needs him, to be honest.
Just the last point on Isotope. Goes to the paddock now, I believe. Mm. Comes back as a four-year-old in the spring.
Yeah. Comes harder.
They're passing up some opportunities as a three-year-old by going
love
to the
love to see it in
now.
The Stradbroke.
Stradbroke. It could win...
The Tatiara.
Any of them. I think it's
a really nice horse, isn't it?
Oh,
it really
very
is.
Nice horse. The figure suggests it's a Group 1 horse, yeah. But it just hasn't performed on grand final day yet, and I don't think it was all her fault.
And I don't get too many opportunities in this game, and we know that. Let's go to race 7. It was the Sydney Cup. 3/4 of a second inside standard time here. 23.96, 12.28. So identified in the red there. It was the last 400, 200 worst of the day compared to the rest of the day. Salino, 19 out to 27. Had the blinkers off, but it's run a huge peak here. Performance was on the quick 7-day back up. Chris Weller, grand final time. You know, we spoke about him when these big money on, he gets his horses to perform. I just want to run through a few of these horses, Benny, and see where they measure up. Because we always, when we get to a 2-mile race, we go, well, can they be a winner in the biggest race in Australia, the Melbourne Cup? Southern France.
He was ordinary.
Well, $8.50 out to $10. He's had like 3 runs in about 3 years.
I thought so he had a great setup.
He's obviously had plenty of issues.
Race. I thought it was this was the race to perform, and he didn't.
Yeah, Miami Bound $8.50 out to $13.
The only races they can go towards is the Melbourne Cup.
This is my point, but they can't win a Melbourne Cup, can they?
No.
So Realm of Flowers, you know, Favourite Memoir is the import. She's Ideal, $8 into $5.50, well supported, runs fourth here. So you're running fourth in a Sydney Cup. You're not going to be coming out and starting under $15 in a Melbourne Cup. To be honest, you're probably not even going to get into a Melbourne Cup. So. I don't know. Do these horses maybe go to the Brisbane Cup, which I think is now only 2,400 metres anyway? They've changed that the last few years. So, I mean, they're always going to be competitive in these kinds of races, but they're not going to be competitive against the big ones.
I think the main thing to take out of this race is, you know, these 3,200 metre, the distance races, first two home are on the back up.
Yeah.
You know, you need a strong platform to be able to perform at these distance range, and the first two home had it and they performed accordingly. Let's not get carried away with the race. These horses aren't scaling any great heights.
Yeah, yeah. No, it doesn't become a major factor in a Melbourne Cup now for winning this race, Salino, that's for sure. All right, let's get to the Rumble in the Jungle. Race 8, 1/2 second outside standard time. They've gone really slow here. 22.8, 4.11, 7.6, last 400, 200. So only good compared to the rest of the day, but I would have thought they could come home a little bit better for how much work they really did do at the start. This was one heck of a weird race, I reckon.
Yeah, messy.
Yeah.
Just no tempo in the race. Dave missed the start, so that took a bit of the tempo out of the race. And then Tommy Marquand, this was a great ride because he took his time getting to outside the lead, because I think after he missed the start, he knew he wanted to get there, but he just took his time to get there. And Mwanga pushed up outside the lead, but didn't want to be there, so Tommy Berry pulled back and Tommy Marquand went outside the leader, which this slow tempo enabled him to do. I think, great effort by Adabe. Mm. What did you make of Very Elegant?
Well, she just did everything wrong. She just went back to her old ways where she just reefs and tears the whole time, and she just takes up so much of her energy that she's not going to be able to explode when she's pulling for probably 3/4 of the race. So the tempo clearly didn't suit Very Elegant. And probably if Adabe, you're speaking about it earlier, if Adabe doesn't miss the start, clearly there's probably going to be more genuine tempo in the race because Tommy Marquand would probably be setting the tempo there. But it was a messy race. It was a great race, though. 270 out to 350. 350 back into 310 for the winner, Adabe, whereas Very Elegant was just solid all the way through. 260 into $2.35, obviously runs second. Sir Dragonette and Mugger 2, I think they found their spot around these horses. These two clearly have panels on the rest.
So, this race didn't rate very well.
No.
They didn't break standard time, obviously because of the tempo. These other horses finished close, but they were very flattered by the tempo. And, you know, Adabe and Very Elegant, they're maybe 4 to 5 lengths better horses than the rest in this race. They did a really good job to overcome, the negatives in the tempo and the way the race was run to run 1-2.
Yep. Let's get to, I think it's the Queen of the Turf, Coolmore Legacy, whatever else they call it. Half a second inside standard time, so pretty good tempo here. 23.08, 11.80, last 400 and 200. And the pizza-eating horse, Natoya, on the quick seven-day backup. This horse backs up a lot, so I went through its stats. It had never won on the backup, but it ran second and third on the backup and plenty of unplacings on the backup. But 17 out to 26, the heavily back favourite, Probabil, $2.40 into $2.15, just the way this day panned out, gets nailed on the line.
Yeah, what did you make of the run? The ride on Probabil.
Oh, I thought at the time, can I be super, super critical and say, did he probably go too early? But she had her chance to win the race.
Yeah, so do I. I was looking to be critical of McAvoy, but I thought maybe it was just a victim of circumstances. He had to go at the time he went, but it was the tempo was just a little bit strong for him to find the line enough to hold off Natoya. But once again, on the backup 7 days.
Versus off 5 weeks.
5 weeks. And I know it did have a trial, but it just, you lack a bit of match practice when you're off 35 days. And I mean, the market was really with Probabil, but it was disappointing for punters because I think if you've backed Probabil, you've backed the right horse. It just didn't get the job done on the day.
Yep. Odium 650 out to 7, finishes 12th, misses the start, but I don't know where she's at.
One of those three-year-olds who we're talking about who's part of a disappointing crop, so maybe we forget about her going forward.
Yep, last race, 1 second inside standard time, 22.80, 11.84, last 400 and 200. For Seeker, $12 into $8.50, really good push for this horse. It was first up, it did run second in this race last year, I think with 56 kilos, it had 55 kilos on Saturday. I thought it was a really good ride, a positive ride. Oh, I thought the New Zealand horse was probably something licked, and it was heavily supported, $4.20 into $3.30, and it's just missed by the narrowest of margins.
Yeah, it probably was, but we were saying early with Wild Ruler that being wide wasn't necessarily a place to necessarily a bad thing. It probably was a little bit wider than Wild Ruler, but yeah, it goes to show it was off 41 days. If it continues on into a race the next couple of weeks, if they follow through within Trivier, it'll be very competitive.
Yeah, the key with Fasica is I think clearly set for the race, so whether now it has a low one and then maybe peaks again third up, so just be careful of that. There's no doubt it was heavily it was fit enough to win first up. I think it was clearly a set play for that horse. We'll be back after the break. It's Trash and Treasure time. Back with the Money Man of Trash and Treasure time. I'm going to start with the trash here, Benny. Three-year-old crops. We speak about it a lot this time of the year too, especially March and April and getting into May. Three-year-olds against the older horses, especially from 72 grade, 78 grade plus, they're winning, but they're not winning against these top ones in the group ones. They just seem to be floundering. Market finds them, but they're not getting the job done.
If I had to ask you who the best three-year-old in Australia is at the moment, who would you label?
I'd say a horse that's won a 64 and I'd call it Ayrton, and that's just purely just off speculation. So that's a bit of a worry.
It has some substance behind it. It's ran good time. 30 to 50 days we talked about with Probabil and Pandana, they just didn't have the right setup to win the races because they were two very fast run races and just they were left without the energy at the end to finish off.
I think it's worth noting going forward when people are doing their punting, just always keep that in the back of your mind. Sometimes you need a fit hard horse, and those 30 to 50 days can keep you a little bit soft, especially late. Treasure, Adabe, just 3-1 now versus Very Elegant. He's just a beauty.
I think the term we can set on is British Bulldog.
Yeah,
I think that
I like it.
It's so
brought
game
something
at
to
the
table.
End of it. Someone else mentioned it. I think I'm stealing that one. Hungry Heart is the one horse I want to talk about. I think she's finally matured and become the horse we thought she might have been last prep. Can win on a quick tempo, can win on a slow tempo.
Thanks for your time, Benny. Thank you for watching. We'll be back next week. We're going to go through the all-age stakes and the champagne.